Story won't have the same, kind of stole my thunder. But it's, it's too late, man. It's too late. It's done already. Oh, man, let's just go ahead and pray and we'll jump in. Amen. All right. God, thank you for this time to be together. We're grateful for Jesus. We're grateful for your Holy Spirit. We're grateful for your mercy. We're grateful, Father, how you speak to us all, how we can hear. God, that you know us personally, that you know everything about us, that you desire for us to have a relationship with you, that you desire for our lives to be lived to the full. Father, you desire for us to not be slaves to sin. You desire for your kingdom to abound here on earth. God, we pray at this time in Jesus' name that you would help us to throw off all that hinders. We pray in Jesus' name that you would soften our hearts to your word, Father, that it wouldn't be about the speaker, but it would be about your message. And God, I pray in Jesus' name to get out of the way and to allow you to speak. Thank you for each person in this room. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for the healing that's going on. Thank you for the things that you're doing on every level. We're grateful and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen and amen. All right. You guys know I coach basketball. Yeah. We got 2 weeks where we're not playing any games. So you can imagine when kids aren't playing games, it's like football. They don't get to hit anybody or anything. You've got 2 weeks of not playing against an opponent. So everybody starts to get a little bit chippy. We practice at 6 o'clock in the morning, so that doesn't help anything. So here we are. We're in practice. We've got a pretty good team, and we practice against a sophomore team. And so as we're practicing, I'm watching us, and we're just kind of running up and down the floor. The ball is like the Keystone Cops. You know, the ball, turnover, 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 turnover. We get the ball back, and I want to score. These guys want to beat these guys. They throw the ball away. A guy shoots the ball, and I'm yelling after about 3 times down the floor of just going back and forth and nobody scoring. I'm seeing that we have opportunity to set up our play. And so I'm yelling to our point guard, set up the play. And it's almost as if he's got, like, earplugs in, those iPad. So he's just kind of dribbling. He goes over to the corner, and everybody's kind of out of position. They're kind of doing this. They look like those little teacups at Disneyland. They're doing this on the floor. That's what it looks like to me. I'm looking at this. I'm going, this is crazy. And then he drives to the basket. He shoots. He misses. They get the ball. They run down. We get the ball back. He comes down. I say, set it up. And he shoots the ball again. He misses. And then they come down the floor. And then I just go, timeout. I call a timeout. And I sub him out. I sub this kid out, and he walks over in front of everybody. What'd you take me out for? And I started to reason with him. I said, did you hear that I asked you to set up the play? He gives me the body language. And here's where I miss. He gave me the body language. I mean, I can't put hands on him. So he gives me this. He does that. And then I immediately go into this reasoning. I go, everybody was out of position. We've talked about this since the beginning of the year. You're my floor general. I need you to set things up. Well, everybody's not in their place. That's why you're the floor general, so you can get everybody in their place. Then he goes, well, I saw a lane, and I took it. Then something clicked. I thought to myself, you saw a lane, so you took it. I said, you missed 3 shots in a row. Now, I left something out. As we're talking, he's going like this. So he sounds like a miniature Darth Vader. I shot it. And I said, now you're out of breath. You when you make those shots, that's okay. But when you miss, you put us in a funky position. And he goes, well, I saw the lane, so I took the shot. And then I said, I'm the coach. And he goes, oh. Okay. My bad, coach. I said, yeah, that's cool now. Why don't you go sit down and get a breath? Authority. Authority. As a parent, have you ever wrestled with authority with your kids? As a supervisor at work, have you ever wrestled with authority? As students, have you ever wrestled with the authority of a teacher? Something's not going well and you're wishing that the teacher would be the authority that the teacher is supposed to be. We've all experienced those things. Now, have you experienced those things spiritually? Where things get to where they're going and maybe you're taking a shot. Maybe we're out of position and we're trying to figure out how to take a shot. You know, God has got an answer for when our lives are in disarray. God has got an answer for every situation in our lives. And my concern as a coach is that collectively, we sometimes forget that God's the authority. You know, this message is going to be pretty simple. It's asking the question, are the scriptures the authority in your life? Are the scriptures the authority in your life? You know, we had a great weekend last weekend, and I wanted to, I've been talking to Bill all week, and I was like, man, how do I follow this up? And he says, you know, just work it in with your gift stuff and how all of you guys work together. And I thought, okay, well, how do I do that? I'm going to share a passage with you, and we're going to jump into it. And it's all about authority and the scriptures being the authority collectively as a church. As a church, the scriptures have to be the authority. Amen. How do we know that the scriptures are the authority when collectively we start to in harmony and in unison, we scream the scriptures. We amen, amen to the scriptures. I want to read this in Nehemiah chapter 8. And this is after they've built the walls up and these different types of things. You can bring him. Nehemiah chapter 8. Now, let me set the stage. They built the walls up. They've gone through some trials and those different types of things. And they get to this point where all the people come together and where before Watergate, they told Ezra, the teacher of the law, to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. So on that first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest, brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men, women, and all who were able to understand. He read it aloud from daybreak till noon as he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of the men, women, and others who could understand. You notice that who could understand in there? And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. All the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Next slide. That's it? Okay. Ezra, the teacher of the law, stood on a high wooden platform built for the occasion. Beside him, on his right, stood some spiritual fellows we'll call Levites. And on his left were some spiritual fellows we'll call Levites. Ezra opened the book. All the people could see him because he was standing above them, and he opened it, and the people all stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands in response. Amen! Amen! Then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. The Levites instructed the people in the law while the people were standing there. They read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people understood what was being read. Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and the teacher of the law, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to all of them, This day is holy, the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. We read this last week. I want you to take note of something. What moved these people to an understanding of where they were at spiritually? It was the scripture. It was the scripture. They heard the scripture and they agreed with the scripture. When we study the Bible, there's this piece where we start to look at scripture and we say, amen, amen. We agree with the scriptures. We agree with what Jesus says. And when we agree with what Jesus says, he opens our eyes. He opens our eyes to see where we are at spiritually, where we are at with him. Now, as you go further on in this passage, I want you to read this, but it goes on. And one, these guys are saying, hey, don't weep and mourn, because the reality is that as you are hearing the law, this is about how God has been gracious to you. And then it goes on into this festival of booths. And they go into this festival, and it's interesting because the timing is a little bit off in these types of things. But as you read through this, they start to go into they build these tents and these different types of things. And at some point they realize, man, we haven't honored God in this way since the days of Joshua. That's what scripture does. It helps you to see the distance that's been created. Now, I want you to understand this. They built the walls up and they did all of these things. And then they read the book of the law. And then they're like, good night. We haven't honored God. So there's something about us being able to build things and not being able to sustain them because we're out of sync with the scriptures. The authority of the scriptures. They go on and they get to this point. Now what you see is hearts being turned because the book of the law was being read. We also see this piece of the people were attentive. They were alert. They asked Ezra to bring the word out. Is that us? Is that us collectively? There's this other piece, this dynamic of all of these Levites all together, and they're helping people to understand the word of God. Are we helping each other to understand what the word of God is? Now, these guys are prostrate, they're standing up, and you got these Levites walking around helping these guys to understand the word of God. We see some of what should be happening in our fellowship, in our congregation. We see what should be happening in our small groups. The scriptures. The scriptures being opened up. The scriptures, I mean, that is our authority. You know, it's interesting because they go through this, they have this festival, and then they come back, and then they fast, and then all of this stuff is kind of jammed together, but they get to this point where they start to remember the deliverance and the mercies and the grace of God as you go on in this passage. And then they come to this piece after they understand who God is, where they confess. They confess their unfaithfulness to God. They publicly confess their sin. They publicly, after they confess their sin, they commit to following God. I believe that as a church, we need to be in the scriptures now We need to be in the scriptures. We need to understand God and who he is, and we need to embrace. If you can't take personal responsibility, if we can't collectively take responsibility for where we have fallen short with God, whatever we build will not stand. It will not produce. I would say this as a church. I don't believe that the scriptures are shot around like they need to be. They're not. Sometimes we're spinning our wheels and we're missing out because we're not using the scriptures. Now, if we think because we use the scriptures, then it's supposed to work out. With Christians, it's supposed to work out, but we're still human beings. Now, we got to understand how important the scriptures are for us. Next slide. I want to talk about the importance of the scriptures. The scriptures for the Christian, they provide direction for our lives. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. God is speaking through his scriptures. Amen. Is your path straight? How many times have we been in conversations and we've been like me when I got caught up for that little moment coaching and we're reasoning with people and we're listening? We're listening to their excuses. I don't know about you, but that, when I think about that, when I look back, when I see how the Israelites, they were called to the scriptures, the book of the law, that hurts my heart to think of how many conversations, how many opportunities have been missed because I got caught up trying to reason with people and not using the scriptures. I mean, think about it. When's the last time someone set your path straight with the scriptures? When have you let them? We spend more time. We're just in a day and age when everything is about reasoning and excuses. I mean, that kid, when he said, hey, I saw an open lane and I took the shot. I mean, the lane was like this. He's super fast. He went down there. He took a shot. I couldn't argue with that. It wasn't a bad shot, but he missed. When you make it, it's cool. But when you don't, the consequences, and spiritually the consequences, the stakes are much higher. The scriptures give us direction. Teens, the scriptures give us direction. They give us direction. They tell us where to go. Amen? I think sometimes we've had bad input from people, and so now we're a little skeptical about taking any input from anybody. And we get so caught up, and we do that for so long, and the culture allows that. And then we get to this point where somebody tries to put a scripture on us, and we got an excuse. Well, I don't know if the context of that is right. Well, what I was really trying to do was... But that's pretty plain and simple, yeah? Acknowledge God. And he'll make your path straight. The scriptures give us direction. If you're not in sync and going where you need to go in the Lord, it's probably because you're on your own path. But here's where we collectively as a church have to embrace this. We've all got to speak into each other's lives. Amen? Next slide. The scriptures, they call us to action. Now, Jesus, when he was talking to his disciples, you know, he says, you call me teacher and Lord, and this is before he's going to the cross, and you are right, for so I am. If I, then, the Lord... Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you, if you do them. Can you imagine that? I don't, you know, it's a different day and age. In that culture, they wash each other's feet.
Right.
You come to someone's house, they're the host, they wash your feet. Jesus did this as an act of, I am purifying you, I am humbling myself before you, I am God and I'm humbling myself before you. You can put your foot on me and I'm going to
do my thing. I'm gonna humble myself before you. Now, the thing that grabs me about this passage, one of the things is that Jesus says, you will do this. If you know these things, if you understand who I am, if you understand what I'm about, if you understand what I'm here for, you will do these things. You'll be blessed if you do them. How many of us, I was at a summer camp and I watched this guy from about 100 yards away washing the feet of his campers, the counselor washing the feet of his campers. He was a friend of mine. He said, Brandon, that was the most invigorating thing I've ever felt. You should do this with your campers. I didn't acknowledge any of that. I was in line with my thing. I'm like, not doing that. I'm sleeping in the same cabin with these guys. Their feet stink. But here's the deal. Think about a mother. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. It's hard now. Think about a about the scriptures. Have you ever had an authority figure tell you to do something that you don't want to do?
And they say, you need to go talk to that person. Or you need to go do this, and you're like scared to do it. You don't want to do it. You know, in the world, we often just go do something else. We've got to ask ourselves this question. When Jesus asked us to be servants, when Jesus asked us to humble ourselves before him, when he asked us to do that, are we doing that? Now, understand this. If Jesus is speaking to you via the scriptures, this is God speaking to you.
Right.
And God is asking you to humble yourself. God is asking you to love. God is asking you to make yourself lower.
Right. Yep.
And when we don't do it, we're basically saying no. When we're not willing to have a conversation, when we're not willing to go the extra mile, when we're not willing to repent, we're saying no. Scriptures call us to action. If we're not called to action by the scriptures, how can we be a church that's living?
Yeah, come on.
Next slide. The Holy Scriptures have a rightful place in our hearts. They've got to have a place in our hearts, not just in our heads, not this knowledge. I mean, we've got to live this stuff out on a heart level. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. In all of the years that you've been a Christian, if you feel like you're spinning your wheels on a heart level, are you sick and tired? Congregation, are we sick and tired of just spinning our wheels?
Come on.
Conversations, but no action. It's like watching the kids when we're in practice and we're going through the layup line before a game, and they're walking back. And the other team's running around. It's like you get nervous with that because you're like, man, our guys aren't ready to play. The Holy Scriptures have a rightful place in our hearts. Next slide. This is almost like a word study. I want to remind you of some things. Here's what Scripture does in our hearts, yeah? For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from God's sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of God, to whom we must all give an account. You know, contextually speaking, this passage is in Hebrews, and the Jewish Christians were wanting to go back to Judaism. And right before this, there's a warning to not be like the Israelites who turned their backs on God and wandered in the desert for 40 years. And then there's this piece where this is what Scripture does. Now, I don't know about you, But as a church, we've got to get away from trying to reason with people and trying to get to their hearts by being sentimental. And we've got to get in the scriptures and allow the scriptures to expose their hearts. Yeah. Our hearts have to be exposed by the scriptures.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's got to, man, look at the scriptures. Why don't you want to do this? That's on a heart level.
Yeah.
Right. Now, if we're just doing things because it's the right thing to do, we'll topple over. We can't get through persecution. We can't get through difficult times if the scriptures don't dissect, don't cleanse, don't purify, don't bring healing, don't strengthen us. Amen? But the scriptures have to be used to deal with our hearts. Next slide. The scriptures are equipment for good works. You know, we talk about growing, maturing. We can have the best programs in the world. We can have the best people. But if we don't use the scriptures, we're spinning our wheels. The scriptures should not only be in our hearts, but that should be our toolbox. That should be our equipment. That should be when we get in the ring to do work, we put on the scriptures. When we wake up in the morning, we put on the scriptures. All scripture is God-breathed, is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. All scripture is from God. There's scripture for every situation. It's profitable. Scripture is profitable. Are you using scripture to profit? Is scripture what's profiting us? Is it what's building us up? Is it what's enriching us?
Right.
Next slide. Scripture is for teaching. It's for teaching. You know, when I look at this, the first thing I think is, am I still a learner? You know, sometimes we've been around so long that we decide that we know everything that needs to be known.
All right.
And we miss out on the idea that man, I got to stay learning.
Right.
Is anybody teaching us? Now, here's why teaching is important. You see those kids right there? You remember one day we were kids like you guys were. Some of you have more money than we do, but I remember all of the things that I didn't have as a little kid. I've grown up, yeah, and learned how to do, and became one that can function a bit. Now, when we talk about the church growing, when we talk about raising up leaders, when we talk about sending people out, when we talk about people maturing, it starts with teaching. Now, there is this piece where we can look at this passage and go, hey, everybody got taught at one time, but there's a responsibility of us that are more mature to teach the younger. There's a responsibility of us that we're teaching each other in our marriages. We're teaching each other in our parenting. We're teaching our kids how to be disciples and to be further along the road than we were as kids. There's teaching that has to go on. Now, there will not be any growth if we're not teaching with the scriptures. Sounds simple, but ask yourself this question. Who have I committed to teaching with the scriptures? Next slide. Reproof. There's a piece of reproving that is a stronger correction. It is it's hold up here. Paul is telling Timothy that scripture is useful for this because he's dealing with folks that are older than him. And so imagine this young guy leading this church, and he's having to confront people that are older than him that know something about the scriptures. Many of us chicken out from having conversations based on someone else's position. They're older than us. They talk better than us. They sound like they know more than us. And we just sit back. You know, there's this piece where Paul tells Timothy, he says, preach the word in and out of season. Here's where reproving comes in. Reproving is something that isn't necessarily going to be accepted in a cordial way. Oftentimes, we don't use the scriptures with people because it's not the right time. We have this idea that it won't do what we think it will do. Well, it's not the right time. Well, they were here. Well, they were that. Remember that passage in Ephesians chapter 4 that says, speak the truth in love? Yeah. How many people have been got off the hook because we're scared to call them to the scriptures? This is where we got to stop. Okay, all this nonsense that you're talking about, and I say this in love and in a respectful way, let's match it up with the scriptures. Yeah. You need to repent. How many people have listened to some outlandishness and not called people to repentance based on the scriptures? Today is that Kairos moment. Yeah. It's that new day. I think sometimes we're afraid that if we say something and they deny us, then we're people pleasers and all these different types of things. If they don't respond to the scriptures, they are not responding to God, and they are responsible for that. That's Be right. responsible for your peace.
Right.
Amen? This is where we should be kind of imitating the Israelites. Amen! Amen! Next slide. Correction. You know, correction is when I'm coaching and I see a kid that's supposed to be in this spot, but he's off a little bit, I'll blow the whistle and I'll walk over and I'll say, hey, move over here. This is where you're supposed to be because of the spacing, and now the play can run smoothly. Spiritually. Sometimes people need just a little bit of correction. They're a little bit off. Now, when you correct somebody, is it, hey, man, you better? Sometimes we get that reproving, rebuking, and all that other stuff mixed up, and they all have the same cadence. And if we've experienced any of that, we may have gotten to this mode where we're not interested in anybody correcting us or reproving us. In the same way we give the scriptures, we've got to be willing to embrace the scriptures. When is the last time someone corrected you with scripture? When is the last time that you've allowed someone to correct you with scripture? Now, this is what we as a church, we're made up on this.
Right.
When I walked into the room, when I first started coming, it was weird seeing people hugging. It was weird seeing people looking all in each other's face and talking and smiling. It was weird, that intimacy, but there was also this piece that when things got sideways with people, they would open the scriptures up, and I would see them pointing at the scriptures, and there was this thing where it was this is one of those things that we shouldn't have thrown the baby out with the bathwater. People would hear the scriptures, and they would go, amen, bro. I'm going to repent. This is what it looks like. Here's my plan. This is what the scriptures say. This is what I'm going to do. And once that climate started happening, there was almost this freedom. There was almost this purity. There was almost this, when something went awry, people felt protected from people in the body.
Yes.
People saw people when they were sideways, and they'd go over, hey, what's going on? Talk. They'd get in the scriptures, and amen.
Right.
We've gotten into this place where we don't want to correct people. We don't want to be corrected. I mean, think about in the last year, how many times you opened up the scriptures in a conversation and called somebody to straighten up. Now, this is correction. Correction is something is crooked. You straighten it up with the scriptures. Amen? This is what we are going to use the scriptures for. Next slide. Discipline. Now, the Greek is training. There's something about training with the scriptures. I don't know about you guys, man. When I became a Christian, I became a Christian when I was older. I'll give you that. But there was this piece of all of us feeling like, man, if I can understand the study series, if I can study the Bible with somebody, if I can disciple somebody, that's what I want to do. I want to be able to disciple somebody. I want to be in a discipling relationship where I can help somebody grow. I want to be equipped enough so that when I meet people on the street, we can talk about Jesus and I can show them in the scripture, living water. I was where you're at. This is what Jesus did. You can have this. I could study the Bible with people. I could be in a marriage time and I could open up the Bible and I could call somebody to scriptures and say, bro, this is how you need to teach it. This is how you need to treat your wife. When we love the teens, this is how you need to treat your parents. Well, they don't deserve it. Some of those teens were disciples. You said Jesus was Lord. Regardless of what your parents are doing, you're to honor them. You're to pray for them. You know, it was interesting. In hindsight is 20/20. I remember as a young kid walking to see one of my buddies, and he's sitting in front of his house, in front of the window, and he's sitting there, and he's kind of balled up, and he's crying. And as I'm walking up, he's almost shaking more. And the closer I get, I hear this yelling and this clanging and all this yelling and this back and forth, this foul language. And I'm walking up and I'm looking at him and he's looking at me and he's embarrassed and he's crying. And I can look up in the screen and I can see his parents. And his parents are in there. Knock down, drag out, fight. The neighborhood could hear it. And in my mind, I think, man, oh, to have some spiritual friends to get in there. Even as a kid, to find hope in that, man, I'm in a body where somebody spiritual is going to help my parents out. I know enough about the scriptures. Don't let anybody look down on you because you're young. I know enough about the scriptures to speak into someone's life. How many of us are training ourselves to understand and use the scriptures? That's like a lost art, I think. I mean, we don't even talk about it anymore. I don't even know if we expect it anymore. Do we? I mean, I could be out of touch. I got to repent in my household. This is my Kairos moment. In our small groups, does iron sharpen iron? In our relationships, does iron sharpen iron? Do we sit around and listen to each other complain? Do we call each other to the scriptures? Is what's acceptable to God acceptable with us? It takes discipline. You know, we're in a culture where everything is like, it's like you watch TV and it's like all these lines, man. I'm like almost having a seizure every time I'm watching TV. It's changing up so much. We've kind of succumbed to this, man. Everything's got to be like this. It's got to be entertaining. It's got to be this. It's got to be that. Whatever happened to hard work? Whatever happened to prayer? Whatever happened to embracing the scriptures? Whatever happened to, hey, let's get together and let's kind of go back and forth with the scriptures? How's it going? How you living it out? Whatever happened to that? Is that a young man's game? Or is that an everybody's game? Discipline. The scriptures. develop discipline in us. I want to encourage you this morning to allow the scriptures, not your feelings, not your past, not your insecurities, not your hopes and dreams outside of Jesus, the scriptures, to be the authority in your life. And I say that collectively. There's some people that are doing it in amen. But collectively, the scriptures ought to be the authority in our life. Is there another slide? Elizabeth Elliot said, the word of God, I think, is as think of as a straight edge, which shows up our own crookedness. We can't really tell how crooked our thinking is until we line it up with the straight edge of the scripture. We can't really tell how crooked our thinking is until we line it up with the straight edge of the scriptures. Here's the assignment, church. Be reminded. Go through the word study. If you're visiting with us, ask somebody, hey, let's go through the word study. I want to understand what you guys are talking about. I want to understand what this means. Go through the word study with someone. Have some discussion about it in your small groups. Live it out this week. Live it out. And the church said, amen, amen. Now is the time that we will take communion together. And this is a special time. You know, I think about when the Israelites saw where they were at in the Lord when they heard the book of the law. And there was weeping. There was guilt. And the Levites, Ezra, Nehemiah, they called the people to not weep. For the joy of the Lord was their strength. The joy of the Lord is God's goodness in the sense of even in your sin, even in your failings, God has provided for you. God has protected you. God has saved you. As we take communion this morning, be reminded that in the midst of all that we've missed, Jesus died for our sins. Jesus cleansed us. Jesus on the cross, his resurrection is a reminder of God's love, his perfect love for us. Let's pray. God, we're grateful for your word. We're grateful for Jesus. We're grateful for purification from sin. We're grateful for a perfect love. We're grateful to be reminded of the power of your word. The power to transform, the power to reconcile, the power to bring light out of darkness. As we take of the bread and the cup, we collectively thank you, God, for Jesus. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.